It's really an amazing time, Pentecost, isn't it? I think it's just a festival like Christmas and Easter that we just need to celebrate and give thanks to God for. And today we're just thinking about why we do and what a real privilege it is as we think together about God's wonder and grace to us all. Well, Pentecost is a time when we recall, well, it means 50th day. And it's the 50th day after the Passover Sabbath. And that's what it actually means. But it's also a harvest, wasn't it, for the Jews? It was also the time when they remembered the law of Moses was given on Sinai. So it was one of the great, great big celebrations of the Jews when they all came, but especially for Messianic Jews, those early ones of the church who had come to see Jesus as Messiah. It was special because it's the Lord's Day as well. Well, they're all together, it says in one place, verse 1 of Acts chapter 2. We'll be going through a lot of Acts chapter 2. And as they were there, it's significant that it is all. And all the way through this passage, the word all crops up time and time again to reinforce that it was a celebration, this festival, not just for a few back then, but for all who put the trust in the Lord. The all probably is referring to the 120, the mention in the earlier chapter, verse 15. And as Pentecost, it was a totally unique experience because it was the church's birthday. And as such, it can't be repeated. But, what actually happened on that day? Well, there was a sound, rushing mighty wind that blew through the house where they were meeting. There was a sight, wasn't there, of fire coming down like tongues of fire on each person. And there was an experience, all filled with the Spirit. And they spoke in tongues, something to hear, something to see, and something they experienced within them. And that's relevant for us today. There's a clear fulfillment of what Jesus had promised us 10 days earlier. John baptized with water. In a few days' time, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit, is what he said to his disciples. And he said, the Spirit of power will come upon you. In the past, as it says here, just the Spirit of God came only on a select few, those in leadership, like the Davids and Jeremiahs, John the Baptist. But now, on everyone, a child can receive the Holy Spirit. And a king can, but a pauper, a beggar, anybody can receive the Holy Spirit. And because this was such a big festival, there were people there from all across the known world. They'd come back, a three-line whip on people to come celebrate this time. And as they saw something and heard something and saw people being changed, they were utterly amazed, bewildered. And they were just overwhelmed with the fact that they heard people speaking their own native languages, even though they came from all those hard-sounding names that Ian had to pronounce. They could understand what these simple disciples were saying. The disciples, what were they saying? They were speaking of what God had been doing, of his amazing acts that so few had as yet understood. And so we discovered that they were already fulfilling exactly what Jesus said they would be. They would be witnesses to Jesus of what God was doing, beginning in Jerusalem, going into Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Here they are in Jerusalem and speaking of God. It was a truly unique day, but the experiences were not unique. And we discover as we go on into Acts 10 that Gentile Christians who came to hear of Jesus and it seemed began to put their trust in Jesus, they were overwhelmed with the Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit and began to speak in tongues. So not just a few in Jerusalem who had the experience. We don't know if they heard the sound of wind. We don't know if they saw flames of the Spirit coming on them. But certainly the experience was identical. And in Acts 19, we find the same thing happening. The Spirit of God coming. And they spoke in tongues and the slot prophesied as well. I'd like now, Anne-Mary, to come and read about a slightly more recent experience of the Holy Spirit's coming. So those of you who know the, what are they called? Transformations DVDs. Do you remember? You'll hear this story. I looked through all the clips and I couldn't find it. I'd love to find a clip of that occasion, but Anne-Mary's going to read it for us.
It started like thunder, and at first no one knew what was happening. Inuit Eskimos. Moses Kayak, who was operating the sound system, turned the volume off, but the noise kept getting louder. Then people began falling down without anyone touching them. James, who had been leading the worship, began to shake. The building began to shake, and for about a minute the noise continued to fill the church like a mighty rushing wind. It sounded like Niagara Falls, said Reverend Joshua Eric, who was helping to lead the youth service at St. Timothy's with his younger brother James. And then the sound went away. There were about 40 people in attendance for the service in Pond Inlet, a community on the northeastern coast of Baffin Island. It was the conclusion of several days of Bible teaching, and the people were fervently praying for God's Spirit to come down on them. Some had asked for deliverance of sins and others for healing of deep emotional wounds. As James was leading worship, his wife was praying for those who went forward. The rector was praying for people at the back of the church, and then suddenly, without our expecting anything supernatural, there was a visitation. At first no one talked about it. It wasn't until later on that day, February the 28th, 1999, that people realized how powerfully they had been shaken by God's Spirit. That evening, the vicar remembered, I was sitting up at the front of the leading worship, and I suddenly realized that something spectacular had happened earlier that afternoon. Then someone realized that the event had been taped, and I asked the tape to be played with the congregation to let them know what had happened earlier on. And then that's when we realized that it was a very powerful visitation of God. And as soon as that tape was on, people started praising God. Why did this happen in Pond Inlet, a remote little town that dwells in darkness half the year, is accessible only by plane, and is thousands of miles removed from any population center? All Joshua Eric knows is that the people had been praying for the community, especially for the young people, on a regular basis. A few years earlier, they had come together to destroy in a huge bonfire about $100,000 worth of heavy metal music, pornography, and drugs. That may be partly why God was so gracious to us, he said. We've really been humbled by this.
So it's not just, that was amazing, but what did they do with it? That's what's important. We need touches of God. We need him desperately, if you're like me. But then what are we going to do with what we've learned from God? Well, let's see what the disciples did as we go through Acts 2, as it unfolds. See what more we can learn. So there we see the experience of what happened at Jerusalem happened at Cornelius' house. within Judea. Then it happened in Ephesus. Then it happened, well, all around the globe, and even still is happening, as we heard there. Amazed and perplexed, they ask, what does this mean? In fact, that's such a good question. What is it all for? Is it just so we have a nice experience of God and that's it? It's not that. It too often is, but it should transform us. I need the Spirit's transforming. One conclusion was, well, they're just drunk on wine. But Peter was quite quick to say, hey, it's 9 o'clock, pubs aren't open. It can't be that. That's a hopeless thing. Peter's conclusion is, it's just a fulfillment, not trust. It is the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy, God's prophecy through Joel in Joel chapter 2. And we heard that read out to us. And it goes, and it begins, as you heard, in the last days, God says, I will pour out, not just trickle, but pour out my Spirit on all people. And so it goes on. Well, what is in God's mind in giving us his Spirit, and giving such experiences to Inuits, to whoever, to us, if we're so fortunate? Well, it was the inauguration, wasn't it, of the new covenant that was brought about through Jesus dying on the cross for you and me. It meant that the way to God is now open, not just for Jews. And as stated before God just chose to live with a small group of people, and he lived with them, Emmanuel. But now, through his Spirit, he indwells. He indwells Christians. Who are his people? Verse 21 says, everyone who calls on the name of Jesus, not just the Jews, not just the rich, not just the privileged, but anyone, young or old too. The new covenant is for all, verse 21, everyone who calls in the name of the Lord. It is also for the promises for all near and far who repent and are baptized. So, although the Spirit may be received by all, we need to turn from going our way to God's way and receive the Holy Spirit and be baptized. Why? Well, for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Spirit. In our reading in Galatians chapter 2, I think it was this morning, it said about God's, why God came and what the new covenant was about. It was so that you and I might receive the Spirit who would transform us if we allow him to. So, God's purpose in sending his Spirit, it's just manifold. There's so many reasons, and go through a few of them. Forgiveness and cleansing from all our guilt. That's what the Spirit longs to do within you and me. But not just so that we're forgiven sinners, we're then adopted into God's family. You and I become children of the King of Kings. And Romans 8 tells us we can cry out to God, and we want to cry out to God if we're his children. Abba, Daddy, I'm here. I'm so grateful you're there. And the Spirit is the seal of his ownership. If you're a child of Christ, you're sealed by the Spirit. It's both a foretaste of what's going to come, of glory, but it's also a seal that you are special you belong to your Heavenly Father. Isn't that fantastic? Amazing. And then it also, the Holy Spirit, He produces the fruit of the Spirit, but that's for another talk. And God's Spirit wants us to know that we have been given His authority. I believe as churches, we just, church members, we walk around as though we haven't God's authority. We're just poor children of God. But His Spirit longs that we know in our hearts we have His authority. And it's a servant authority to do lots and lots of things. Not just to say we're compassionate, but to preach the gospel. That's being compassionate, that people might come to know Him, to heal, to cast out demons. Do you realize then you have that authority? If not, well, we're just not living as God wants us to. And we might feel, well, poor Jess, I can't do much. And we can't. But if we ask God's help and trust in Him, we can, because we have His authority. All authority has been given to me. You go, therefore, with that authority. That's you. You. Each one of you who knows the Lord. The Spirit enables us to be His witnesses. That's what the early people were doing. They're speaking of what God has done, is doing, and will do. That's what the Spirit has come to do within you. Not just so we can read of what the Spirit is doing in the Inuits several years ago, but in you. What has the Holy Spirit been doing in you and me? Many of us would be ashamed to say, I'm not sure, Blake. And that's sad. The Spirit equips us with power tools. Some of you come to a house and say, oh, it's lovely to have an open fire. Do you know how that fire works? It's through me getting out an old saw. Actually, it's got a newish one, but it seems blunt, but it's quite new. But I'm sawing away through a huge, great log. Sometimes they're that size, literally, that people are very generous to give me, aren't they, John and others? But sometimes I get stuck, and so I say to Paul Richards, Paul, bring your power tool along. And what takes me, literally, some logs take me over half an hour to saw through by hand. Gets me fit and warm. Paul can do it in a minute, in less than a minute. It's fantastic. That's why the Spirit's come. He's come to bring us His tools to help us, just like that. And tongues are part of the power tool. And some people make a big thing of them, and some say, well, I don't want such an insignificant one. But Paul did say, I use this gift more than any of you. Check it. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18. To you. If God offers us a gift, even if we don't fully understand why it's there, use it. It's something I try to use regularly, because I believe it's what God wants us to do. Power tools are also prophecy. That's what they were doing here. Speaking forth what God had been doing, the acts of God in the past, and also foretelling what God will do in the future. We've got a book at the back and up in the prayer room of things we believe God's been speaking to us over the years, and we recall them, we pray into them on occasion. Not enough, I'm sure. But are you praying, Lord, speak to me, speak through me, that we might know what is the way forward for us as a church about lots of decisions? We don't want good ideas. We just want to hear from God His good ideas. Dreams and visions, that's what was promised in 17, Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Well, we hear, and if you do a Google search on Muslims receiving visions of Jesus, you'll find that there, and there are quite a few. But why don't we pray for dreams and visions for those of our family members who don't yet know Jesus? That God will confront them, as he did Saul in the physical, going along on the road to Damascus. And there are just so many more power tools there. And they're for us to use, not for my glory, your glory, but to do the works of Jesus. We need them. The church needs them. The village needs them. The community does. To see God is alive and active. Jesus owned Pentecost, well, that was his baptism. And there we heard the Spirit came on him, and the Father said, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And in Luke 4, we find that Jesus saw that that was his ordination to share and preach the good news to the poor. The poor keep coming up. What are we doing for the poor? Yeah, we bring in tins, maybe. We should bring in more, I guess. But the poor especially need the good news. We don't. The rich don't think they need it because, you know, they're doing all right. But they do. But the poor are aware they need God's good news. And to see people released from prisons, like Brother Yun was, read his book. We can give you a copy. And from spiritual prisons of oppression, possession. We've been praying, a lot of us, for a young girl, a five-year-old from a non-Christian background, who it seems has been in the Children's Hospital in London, possessed, no medical explanation. And praise God, she seems to be being set free. He came to heal the blind, both spiritually and physically, release the oppressed, to tell people now is the year of the God's favor. It's a year of Jubilee. We're living in that period. We'll think more of that next weekend, the Diamond Jubilee. But there's a bigger Jubilee, and we're living in that. God releases from debt. God has so much, and we just fail to take it. It's a bit like, you know, a mother preparing a meal for a child and the child just taking a tiny little bit of it, not realizing actually it's all for the child. It's 5 o'clock, it's your tea time. Have it all. We should. Not many children would just take a little bit, but most would want all, unless it's our Isaac, who at the moment is very picky about what he chooses and needs. And that's you and me. But be like the child who really is hungry for all God has to offer. Well, the application. Are you a Christian? That's where it all begins. What do I mean by that? Have you recognized that Jesus died for you on the cross? Have you recognized that you need to ask his forgiveness for your sins? Because on that cross, he bore your sin and mine. It's amazing. He did that for you. No matter whether, even if you have murdered somebody in thought, most of us haven't gone as far as indeed. He can forgive even that. Seems impossible. They murdered him, and he forgave them on the cross. So ask the Lord to forgive, and ask him for his Spirit, and we become a child of God. If we haven't got the Spirit of God, in Romans 8, verse 9, it says we are not a child of God. So if you're not a child of God, come forward and ask how we can be at the end of the service. Or ask your neighbour, how can I become? And there's some booklets there at the back we can give you. And have you, like the disciples and Jesus, been clothed with power? Clothed, not just, you know, just accepting a little bit off the plate of God, but a whole lot. The words are significant, baptized in the Spirit, receive power from on high. They mean that they're important words. Or maybe you haven't as yet, you know, received the fullness of God's Spirit. That's your birthright. Ask God. I'm going to give space in just a moment to do that. And many of us, if you like me, have leaked, we've sinned, we've had wrong attitudes, and we need to ask God to fill us again. Paul declares, don't be drunk in wine. That's really good, isn't it, to learn. Really important. But be filled. Go on being filled. Day by day, Lord, fill me with you. Just ask, have you the power, gifts, the tool to serve? It could be admin, it hasn't got to be one of the other power tool. It could be the special anointing for any of these things and more. If we don't use them, if we don't ask God's anointing on them daily, they become blunt. If you don't share God's good news with people, you forget how to, don't you? So do it. Refresh, you know, practice it on yourself and somebody else, so that when you find somebody who really is hungry for God, you can share the good news. So like the Inuits, as I conclude now, pray fervently. That's what they're doing. Repent frequently. You wouldn't think of filling a dirty cup with nice coffee, would you, in a harvest house or wherever? So constantly ask God's forgiveness. And then ask God to fill us. I'm going to allow space, if we could, just now, to allow God, Spirit, to come. I would love, you know, wind, or I'd love the building to shake. I don't know what George would think of it. But I don't mean this George, but George, who is the guy who looks at the fabric until the end of the year. What do you think of it? But I know I need more of God. You might want to get on your knees and say, God, I've blown it. I've failed you. My life is full of stuff I'm ashamed of. It might be some of the heavy metal. It might be the pornography. It might be whatever. Just say, I'm going to get rid of it. Whatever the wrong attitude is, whatever the wrong thing. Because God will meet with us. So let's just be still. I'm going to ask God, Spirit, to come in a moment. But first, if you've got business to do with God, please do it. And then I'll invite God's Spirit to come. Jesus said, if anybody is thirsty, let him come and drink. It's not just if you're thirsty, it's if you're thirsty. Let him come, or her come, and drink, and out of them will flow streams of living water. I want that. I hope you do. Lord, we are thirsty. We invite you now to come by your Spirit. We don't know if we'll see, if we'll hear anything, but we do know that you hear our prayer. And I guess all of us, need that power to serve you aright, to show that your compassion to hungry, spiritually hungry and needy world and nation. Come visit us. Even now, come. Let's just be still. And for a few minutes, just sit. Perhaps hands open to receive, but certainly hearts open. I think during the worship later on, I'd like to ask people that like to come forward just to be filled with the Spirit, or if you want the gift of prophecy or tongues or administration or whatever, do come forward and we can just pray and ask God's touch upon you. So please, the prayer ministry team at the time of the worship later on would come forward, and people, well, I just invite you to come to receive from God. We're going to continue in prayer now as Jill leads us. Thank you.